Okay, the Gemara now, we're on Gemara Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, the last of the skinny lines before we get to the wide lines. After having taken a long detour, we get back to our original discussion regarding the normal idea of a negative transgression that usually can be repaired with an assay afterwards. And we said, however, if the assay is independent, then you will still get lashed from that. Okay? So now the Mishnah we're going to look at now is in another Masechta, but we're going to see how it fits in over here. Okay? So we're going to come back. So Tanan Hossam, we learn in another Mishnah. Hanoitel Aim Albanim. Okay, we know we have the mitzvah of Shiluach Hakeim, that if you find a mother bird nesting or hovering over its eggs or chicks, the Torah says the following, and let's take a look at the pasuk exactly. Torah says, Ki yukore kan sipor lefanecha, if you happen to chance upon a bird's nest on the road, in any tree or on the earth, etc., etc. Okay, look at the last clause there. It says, Lo sika ha'eim al ha'bonim. Do not take the mother from off of the children. That's a negative transgression. So that should come with a punishment of lashes. If you would take it, you would get lashed. Then it says, Shaleach tishalach es ha'eim. Rather, you shall surely send away the mother birds, v'sabonim tikach loch, and the children you take for yourself, l'man yitav loch v'rachta yamei, so it should be good for you. Now we have a positive commandment to send the mother bird away. So now the question is, what is exactly the nature of this positive commandment doing over here? Is it coming to fix up the lav or not?
No. Two separate ones.
Well, we'll have to see.
You didn't do it before. How can you fix something you haven't done?
You can't fix that.
Well, let's think about it. You have to understand, what does the Torah say about this? Send away the mother bird, and then you take the children. So, what happens if I take the mother bird?
You can always send her away.
Don't take the mother bird, so maybe it's a lav hanitik la'asik. If you take the mother bird, don't take the mother bird with the children, so then go and send the mother bird away. Maybe it's a lav that's fixing it up. Or let's say it even better, if let's go back to that pasuk again. Sorry.
You're saying you have to do it first.
Hang on. Okay, but if you're supposed to do it first, why wouldn't the Torah first say, Shalach teshalach, shalach teshalach esa'eim? Send the mother bird away and take the children for yourself. That's the initial thing. Yeah. Then it should say, Lo si kacha eim alabonim. All right? Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to spin this psukim over here, but that is what the psukim are saying. So let's see what happens now. All right? So if you take the mother bird with the kids, let's see what the halacha is. Yehuda omer loke ve'ena mishaleach. You get lashed and you don't send it away, because once you've taken the mother and the children, you get lashed. So he holds that the positive commandment, you shall surely send away the mother bird, is a positive commandment that precedes the prohibition, not one that remedies its violation. That is, the Torah means, do not take the mother bird while she is on the young. Rather, initially, you are to send her away. Therefore, what if a person transgresses and he takes the mother bird while she's with her young? He's already transgressed both the prohibition and the positive commandment. He has not fulfilled the positive commandment. He has transgressed the negative commandment of taking the mother bird with the children. There is no remedy, and you get lashed, even though there is an assay stated after the lav. His opinion is that assay is not there to repair the lav. Now, you take a look at the more in Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda means by saying he gets the lashes and the send away that the past commandment applies only prior to the prohibition. Thus, once he has violated the prohibition, there's nothing further for him to do. He receives lashes. There's now no positive commandment to send away the mother bird. The Gemara over there considers the possibility of Yehuda might mean only that he incurs lashes and is not freed from that liability by sending away, but there's still a positive commandment for him to send away the mother bird. That might be a possible Gemara discusses, but whatever, we're not going to go there. But clearly, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that initially you're supposed to do the assay, send the mother bird away. You don't. Let's say you don't do that, and you don't take the mother and the kids. Well, then you've transgressed by not fulfilling the positive mitzvah. Just no different, for example, let's say you see a lost object, you don't pick it up. There's a positive mitzvah to return it. So you have transgressed not doing a positive mitzvah. Same thing here. If you just walk past it, you've transgressed not doing a positive mitzvah. If you send it away, you've done a positive mitzvah. Now, if you go and keep the mother bird and the kids, take them together, now you've done a negative commandment. And the positive, even though the positive is written after the negative, it's not coming to repair it. And therefore, once you've transgressed, you're finished. There's nothing you can do about it. So that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Chachamim turn around and say, nope. Mishaleach ve'eino loikeh. You send it away and you don't get lashed because they learn that the positive commandment remedies the negative commandment. They say that the positive commandment you shall surely send away the mother applies after the prohibition has been violated because that's the sequence of the verses. The Torah means, don't take the mother bird while she's on the young. And if you do so, then you must now send her away. Accordingly, the person who has sinfully taken the mother bird while she was on her young is now bound by the positive commandment to send her away. And by doing so, he voids the malchus it should have incurred for his transgression. So now now you could see that, because if it was really a positive commandment independent of the negative, why don't we just state the positive first? You can clearly see two sides of the coin over here. You did a negative. You shouldn't have taken the mother and the child. So now that you did, okay, now fix it up. Send the mother away. And that's fine, instead of taking both. We're not getting into the philosophical reason behind the mitzvah over here, but clearly there's two ways of looking at this mitzvah. Do you get lashed? So is this lav, is the asse fixing up the lav, or is the asse not fixing up the lav? So now, and now it's, you know, now it says, Zehaklal, this is a general rule that is backing up the rabbi's position. Kol mitzvahs lo sasheh sheyesh bakumaseh, any negative prohibition that has a positive commandment, ein chayovim oleh, you're not chayav from malchus, rather you perform the positive commandment, you don't get the lashes. Now, Rabbi Yehuda clearly agrees with that general principle. He's not going to argue on that principle that in a regular case, that an assay could fix up a lav. But here, however, he says there's no remedy since the positive command to send away the mother applies before the violation and not afterwards. As we had long ago, we started weeks ago with Rabbi Yochanan's statement, who started off this whole game by saying that very same thing, that if there's a positive mitzvah that's independent of a negative mitzvah, it doesn't come to repair it. So it seemed that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that as well. Okay, so that is our machlokas over here, and we have Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim who argue exactly what the nature of this asa is. That is a Mishnah.
Fine. It's practical when you think of it. It's a wild bird, right? So it's sitting on the eggs. If you want to get the eggs, so it's going to start flying around. I mean, you can't. It's not going to stand, sit there, and watch you take the eggs, and then let you shoo it away afterwards. It's almost impossible to fill the positive mitzvah. It
could be a pigeon coop.
I'm not sure what you're asking. What if you take the mother and the eggs?
Pick them all up together.
You go over. You take the mother. You take the eggs. It's possible to do that.
Yes.
I think you could do that.
Yes, sir.
And now, if you want to say it fixes up, just send the mother away. Torah says, send the mother away and keep the eggs. So what you did, well, you took the mother and the eggs. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, so now send the mother away.
It's not about the bird's feelings.
That works out. That works out. We're not getting into that scuff over here. Okay. So now, fine. So now, even though the rabbi said this is the rule, right? Remember, they said a rule. In all cases, the prohibition is remedied by that. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan now, and he says, Ein lanu ela zos va'od acheres. We have only this case of sending away the mother bird and one other case in which this is true. What does that mean? Only in these two instances does Malchus for violating a prohibition depend on whether or not the transgressor performs the remedy. But in all other cases of a prohibition not remedied by a positive commandment, the transgressor is never subject to Malchus. Okay?
This is the exception.
This is one of two.
So he's saying, Rabbi Yochanan understands the sage's ruling. He sends away, he does not incur lashes, to mean that if he does not send her away, then he does receive the lashes. That's basically saying, remember, going to opinion now that says you don't get lashed for it. So he's saying, if you do this, you don't get the lashes, right? So if you don't send her away, you do receive the lashes. Moreover, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Malchus, in such cases, depends on whether, remember, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is bitlo velo bitlo. Remember, it means you have to, we wait until you nullify the ability to do it. Not that we take you right away and say, you got, okay, you transgress, now fix it up right now, or you're going to get lashed. He doesn't hold that. He says, you got all the time in the world, and only if you actively don't do it, then you're going to get lashed, right? That is, the transgressor receives Malchus for violating such a provision only if he actually nullifies the possibility of performing the positive commandment. Thus, he understands the sages to mean the transgressor may send the mother bird away at any time and thereby avoid Malchus. Right? In other words, what if he doesn't send the mother away right now?
He's fine.
What about tomorrow?
He's fine.
Okay. He's okay. Remember, even if the mother dies by itself, he hasn't nullified it himself. So the only way he could really get lashed is if he killed the mother bird or ate them both for breakfast that day. Now he cannot do this. Remember, that goes against the kimu velo kimlu, which we're not going to go there, that says you have to do it right away. So, actively nullifying the positive commandment maintains Rabbi Yochanan as possible only in the case of Shiluach HaKen, where the sinner can actively nullify the positive commandment to send away the mother by killing it, and in one other case. So Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying, this is consistent to what he's been saying beforehand, because he holds bitlo velo bitlo. He says, whenever you transgress a negative commandment, and now there's the positive to fix it up, he says there's only two cases where you could actually get lashed by directly nullifying it. Because it would seem that all other cases, you never have to get lashed because you never have a situation where you can directly nullify it. I know, we're going to come back to that one. I know. More's going to get there. But what he's generally saying is, that generally speaking, when you transgress a law, and there's an assay to fix it up, you're generally not going to get lashed even if you don't do the assay, because the only way you get lashed is if you actively kill it. So he says, or don't allow the situation to come out. He says, well, and only in practicality, there's only two situations like that where you could get lashed, depending on whether you did it or not. Because that's the only, this case, he says, and only one more in which you could get lashed by actively nullifying it. No other possibilities exist. That's what he's saying. And that's going to start us off on a whole bunch of guys. Really? First they're going to go, no, well, what's the other one? And then they're going to say, why is it only another one? I see another one over here, and we got three. So why are you saying it's only two? But generally speaking, a lot of these cases, Torah says, thou shalt not, and then they give you a remedy to that. Okay, as long as you don't actively nullify the remedy, and most of them, it's not a question of actively nullifying the remedy. But here, this and one other, here you could actively nullify the remedy by killing the mother bird. So that would be a case where you would get lashed, even though there's the assay to fix it up, because you've actively destroyed it, right? So therefore, it depends whether you do the remedy or not. In all other cases, you're never going to get lashes because you can't really actively not allow the situation to happen. Clear?
So what happens?
So
what? Because in this scenario...
Well, but you could do the assay in general. You could do the assay if you... Remember, there's two things. You can remedy the lav. That's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to remedy the lav. Forget about lashes. Forget about getting lashed. If God says you did a sin and I'm giving you a chance to fix it up, you'd be smart to fix it up. But if you don't, you won't get lashed anyway because you're not actively nullifying it. However, he says there's two cases where you can actively nullify it. Only two cases. In other words, every other case, it's not possible to actively nullify it. It's just, you just didn't fix it up. But there are two cases where it's possible to actively nullify it. So when you took the mother bird. Now, theoretically, you could do nothing. Just do nothing now. You have the mother bird. But wait a minute, what did you take the mother bird for? Just as a pet? I guess if you keep the mother as a pet, and the eggs you keep as a pet, you don't let them hatch, you just keep them as pets. Okay, I guess you're never going to actively nullify it. So you've transgressed the positive. Well, you've transgressed the negative, and you haven't sent the mother bird away. But we can't lash you. Can't lash you. You just gained. That's all you gained. You're not a friend in God's eyes. But you gained. You didn't get lashed because you didn't actively nullify it. That's case one. And there's one other case. Where's the other case? Amar lei, Rabbi Yochanan replied to him, L'chi tishka, go you find it. Okay, if you think carefully, you know, he wants this colleague to would have to feed you all the answers. You know all of Shas. Go through Shas in your mind and figure out a case.
Why would they write that down? Go find it.
Guess what? Nafak, he looked around. Duck, he searched. Ve'ashkaran, and he found it. And what's going to be the case? The one that you brought up. Which one were you bringing up? What were you thinking of? That's it. The Tanya, we learned in Abraisa. We already, this is old Torah, we already learned. Ones shigiresh. Remember again, if a guy rapes a woman, part of the punishment is what? That he must remarry her. He must marry her. And there's a law. The law says that you cannot divorce her, and she has to be married to you at all times. So now, what happens if the rapist guy divorces the woman? That violates a negative prohibition that says that he cannot divorce her. So now, but there's a remedy to that situation. The remedy is remarry her. Remarry her. So now, let's see what the case is. So if he's an Israelite, well, there's not a problem. Machsir, take back the wife, ve'ain aloka. And he will not get lashed. Okay? So again, clearly here, Rabbi Lazar is learning this brisa that the positive mitzvah comes to fix it up. Okay? Well, others may have said it has nothing to do with it. Okay? But he's saying it's a positive mitzvah that fixes it up. You don't have to get lashed. So just go marry. On the other hand, if he's a Kohen, who? But if he's a Kohen, then Loki's going to get lashed because he's not able to remarry her. So now we have a case of, now, how is it possible that you can nullify this? Well, let's see what's going on. Let's see what the case is. So how is this a case where you can get lashed on this? Remember, he said there's only two cases that you actually can lash the guy for non-performance. So this is the second case. I'm trying to wonder, what are you telling me here? Ha-nicha, well, I could understand that. Laman detoni kimu velo kimu. I understand according to the one that says kimu velo kimu. Kimu velo kimu is the other approach to a lava nitek lase that says as soon as you transgress, we say right away, go, no, right away merrier. Right away merrier. Right away fix up the lav. And if you don't do it right away, boom, then you get lashed. So now I understand. That would be another case. That would be another case. Although, truthfully, it will be that and much more than one. It will be many, many more. But anyway, according to this view, Malchus for violent prayers depends on whether or not the transgressor performs remedy immediately upon being warned. Crime by failing to send away the mother bird or remarry the divorcee immediately about being warned by the creditor to do so, transgressor will be liable to Malchus as implied in the language and mission the Bryce has just cited. Okay, I guess we'll find a case like that. Elo lamanda amar to tani bitlo velo bitlo. But the one who says no, it's till you eventually do it, till you nullify it. I don't see how that's going to work over here. Okay, that makes sense. By sending away the mother bird, it's possible to get lashed, because if you go and mishkachas lay, it will come out if you kill the mother bird without sending away. I see that. Ella ones, but a rapist, what do you tell me? How can he actively nullify it? He can always remarry her. How is there an active nullification of that? Right? That's what he asks. Bitlo velo bitlo hecha mishkachas lei. How is it possible that he can nullify it actively by to not marry her again? Right? So where does that fit in? You guys got a possible solution how we can do that?
Marry someone else.
He can marry more than one person.
What happens if he mutilates himself? Can't marry.
No, but if she had relations with someone...
Guys, you're missing the most obvious situation. Eat a cutler. What if he kills her? If he kills her, well, that will nullify the mitzvah, wouldn't it? Would that nullify the mitzvah?
No, he didn't remarry her.
Again, if you don't remarry her, you've not nullified the mitzvah actively. Remember, that's the whole point we're saying. You haven't nullified it, I just didn't get around to it. Right? We're saying there's two cases where you will get lashed. So how's that going to be? How can he nullify it? Well, I guess the only way he could really actively nullify it is by killing her. But why will that not be a good answer?
Because if you become a murderer,
won't get lashed.
What?
You won't get lashed.
Why not?
You'll be
killed. Why don't you lash him and then kill him?
You can't do both.
That's right. So that's what Gemara says. It can't be by killing her, because come lay bitter abimine. You give the worst punishment. You give the worst punishment, which is murder. So again, you're not going to get lashed anyway. So how is it possible to nullify it?
Don't lash me, but kill me instead.
So Amar Rav Shimi Mechuzna, Rav Shimi from a place called Chuzna, says, I can tell you I can actually do it without killing her. Very simple answer. Could go shekibul law kiddushin me'acher in a case where he accepted on behalf of the woman a kiddushin from another man. In other words, he divorced her. He now is supposed to marry her. Now, if she on her own in the interim gets married to somebody else, he has not nullified it. She went and nullified it. But let's say the guy wants to give her, another guy wants to marry her. And this guy says, you know what? I'll happily be her shliach. I'll be her shliach.
She has to make him a shliach.
It doesn't matter. But he will actively be involved in it. By actively involved there, because now he's making it happen. When he takes it, he is enabling the thing to be completed. And now he is engaged in nullifying it by taking that. And that will work out. Okay? Now, once she's married to another man, we already know the law, that if you're married to Mr. A and he divorces you, and you marry Mr. B, you even if Mr. B dies, you can't go back and marry Mr. A. So once he is the active participant in having the marriage happen, so now he can't marry her afterwards. Now, it's all important. Okay, we hold that it works, it prohibits forever. So according to her, okay, that's that opinion. I'm not going to other opinions over there. So that would be a way of making that happen. Oh, it's not going to work. You're going to see in a minute.
Just confused. The guy who's a Kohen.
He can never remarry her.
So if he's...
has lashes.
By divorcing her, is he actively nullified at the same time?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. It's a good question. Anyway, the Gemara now says, wait a minute, how can you say that's the case? Omar Rav, tell me exactly how it happened that he became the agent. Like, did she appoint him? Did he do it on his own? So, Ishavi say Shliach, if she appointed him as the agent to receive the Kedushin of her parents, so who nullified it?
She did.
She was really who did it. Even though the man is actively doing it, but anyway, he's her Shliach, right? So she empowered him, so therefore she, Shluch Shalom Kamoso, she empowered him. It's not. And if on the other hand, Elo Shavas is Shliach, and if she didn't make him a Shliach, then call Kamine. Is this at all anything impossible? You can't make a, you can't accept a Shliach for someone else who didn't say they wanted, but Lo Klumi, it's nothing. So how's that going to, so we're back to square one. How can you nullify it? So when I said, I'll tell you what it is. He made a public vow that said she can have no benefit from him again in the future. She cannot benefit from him. And therefore, he now is not able to marry her. Okay? If a guy makes a public vow in presence of 10 people, there's a, because, and now, what could happen now? So now they can't get married. They can't be married. In other words, one cannot undertake a vow that conflicts with his legal obligations to his wife. In this case, he's under legal obligation to her to remarry her. There are, however, ways in which his vow can circumcise, set up anyway, but that way he could nullify that. Now, why did they say publicly? Because if it was just a general vow, you still haven't nullified it because you could nullify the vow. So that doesn't mean it's forever undone. Like when you kill the mother bird, you can't unkill it. But when he makes the vow, generally speaking, makes it. Why do you say barabim? Because he wants to make it assume that that can't be nullified. Why do you say public? That's a much stronger vow than just me making a vow to myself. So they would say barabim, and that would appear not to be nullified. Well, it's not so clear. Honicha, that's all good. Laman damer neder shahuda barabim lofar. That good, according to a person that holds that if you publicly make a vow, it cannot be annulled. Yeah. That would be good an answer. Elaman damer yesh lofara ma'ikalameimer. But there is an opinion that says you can nullify it even then. So how is that possible? So therefore, he says like this is another way to meidira al das balim rabim, where you can make the vow made on a public consensus. And in that case, everyone agrees it cannot be annulled. What does that mean? That is, he discovered a sinful matter in her that renders her forbidden to him, and therefore declares her probation upon himself on public consensus and the consensus of the court, which has to all be explained in the next line. The commentary explained where Rashi adds that, said, that's a kind where it never can be nullified. The Omar Amemar, because Amemar already told us, Hilchos of the law is neder shahuder barabim, any vow that's made with public consent, that's made publicly, yeshavur could be nullified, but al das rabim ain hafora. But if it's done with public consensus, it can never be nullified. So by prohibiting himself in this manner, saying, she did a not proper thing, so it's now connected to public consensus, can't be annulled unless the people on whose understanding he made the vow all consent to the grounds for the vow's annulment. But when making the vow in the consensus of a large public, it's impossible to get everybody to agree to it, and it cannot be. So that's the only case how he can be mevatalit, if it's with the public consensus. Not just done in public, but with the public consensus. Everybody says, yes, we agree, you made it, this and that. And that's a very strong vow that really cannot be undone. And that is the case that works.
What would...
I'm going to have to stop it here. We can review it because I got the call already. What's going to happen next? The next time we meet, you're going to say, well, these are the only two cases? There's more than two cases. We can pick up this public consensus issue on Thursday.